Father, we thank you and we love you, Lord, because you are good. Thank you for the great and precious promises you have given in the scriptures for us and our children. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, because these children, they are yours. Jesus prayed and said, thine they were, and you gave them to me. Lord, thine they were, you gave them to us. We thank you. We give you glory and honor. And I pray and declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. On here this morning, let us our hearts be encouraged, Lord, by the promises that we read out of your word this morning. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. I want to I want to remind us of some of these wonderful promises, great and precious promises that the Lord has given concerning our children. Our parents are often troubled, you know, and rightly so sometimes, but, you know, concerned about their children and so forth. And, you know, I want to just share some scriptures this morning. Praise the Lord. So we'll be reading through some of these scriptures. I might have a few comments here and there. But that's it. Let's just take it as, you know, Bible study this morning. And look at all the promises in the Word of God concerning our children. You know, there are so many. I have so many listed. Not sure if I can make it all in one lesson, but we'll see. You know, so the great and precious promises for our children from the Lord unto us, as we see in the scriptures. So today's title is Great and Precious Promises for Our Children. Yeah, it's taken from the scriptures. I'm going to read through, I'll try to read through many of these promises, actually read them out, not just say them, but read them out. And I want you to, if you can, just follow along. If you're in a place where you can open your Bible, that's even best. See these things, you know, for yourselves. Psalm 37, verses 25 to 26. These are wonderful promises that the Lord gives unto us concerning our children. I have been young, he said, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The righteous, he said, is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So we see right here that the seed of the righteous is blessed, neither shall they become beggars. And as we go through each of these promises, I'm just going to declare, I will declare it as a prayer over you and your children, particularly over your children. So I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus that your children shall never be forsaken, nor will they beg bread. You yourself will not be forsaken. Your children will not beg bread. And your seed shall be blessed, the scripture says. Amen. And as we read through these promises, if anything resonates with you, you can put your amen reaction in the chat room as you go through. Got lots of wonderful promises to encourage you concerning the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 17. And as I call out these scriptures, I will pause a bit to allow you time, if you are following along, to pull it up and read it for yourself. So this is Psalm 103 and verse 17. The mercy of the Lord, he said, It's from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Praise the Lord. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Now there is a sad lesson I want to bring out here, even as we get into these promises for our children. Many of these promises, they are not just standalone promises for the children. They are promises that the children inherit because of you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So the Lord promises many things for our children because of us. And I like to think of these as generational blessings in the scriptures. Other people like to talk of generational curses. Me, I like to talk about generational blessings. The blessings that the Lord put upon your children because of you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, powerful stuff. It is the children of the righteous that will not beg for bread. It is the children of the righteous that are blessed. Here it even talks about children's children. That means generations. The Lord will bless you, bless your children, and bless their children after them. Praise the Lord. And the Lord, you know, confirmed these kinds of blessings as we saw in scriptures. The blessing that he put on Abraham, he transferred those blessings to Isaac and gave the same covenant. And then to Jacob and on down through the line. And here is something that the Lord even said to David in the book of Psalms 89. The Lord was talking to David. You know, he said, not only are the things that he would do for David, but he also talked about what he would do for his children. You know, he said, look, I have chosen David, I have anointed him my oil, I will make him higher than the kings of the earth, I will make him my firstborn, I will do all of these things. My mercy will I keep for him forever, my covenant shall stand fast with him. Now, this is Psalm 89, verse 28. My covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed. Now, he's been talking about David the whole time. Now he's switching and talking to his seed. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgressions with the rod and with iniquity, their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, notice this. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. Suffer my faithfulness to fail. You know, so the Lord always talking about what he will not only do for us, but also for our children. So basically, for David's sake, he said he will not remove his children or the blessing of the Lord from his children. And so when we walk in righteousness before the Lord, we do it not just for ourselves, but we do it also for the benefits that shall pass on to our children. Now, this doesn't make the children to be saved because of us. The scripture does not support that. Each of them must give their lives to Christ, yet the blessings of God pass upon them, whether they are saved or not, because they are your children. That's it. Because they are your children, there are many blessings that will come. And they will be saved too. Because thou shalt be saved and thy house. But even on, before they even give their lives to Christ, just because they are your children and you are walking in righteousness, the blessings of God will come upon them, pass on to them. Now, it will be their responsibility to hold on to those blessings. But, you know, by they themselves walking in integrity of their heart before the Lord. That's how they hold on to those. But it will come unto them anyway because of you, because of what the Lord has said. His faithfulness, not only to you, and his righteousness, not only to you, but to children's children. Praise the Lord. Children's children. Now, that's a powerful, powerful promise, you know, for us to rejoice in. Praise the Lord. Now, that was only number two. And I got a lot to go. Here's number three. Not in any particular order. I'm just making it chronologically through these verses, starting from the Psalms. And I'll go on to Proverbs, then I'll go on to Isaiah and Jeremiah and so on and so forth. Clear on to the New Testament. So here's another one. Psalm 112. And as you are reading along with me in these scriptures, believe them for yourself and for your household. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 112. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. See, again, starts out with the man that fears the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. So God take care of, you know, you, right? You are blessed for doing that. Then he turns around to your seed next. You know, the moment that, you know, your children come into your life, they inherit the blessings of God because of God's righteousness upon your life. That's it. The blessings will pass upon them. God has ordained it like that. Now they and we must instruct them in the way of the Lord. We must teach them the way of the Lord. And we must lead them to trusting in God. And they will have to come into a direct relationship themselves with the Lord for their salvation, but the blessing pass upon them straight because they are your children. He said, bless the man that feareth the Lord, blessed is he, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's right. Wealth and riches will be in your house and so forth, but your children shall be blessed after you. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. So let's claim these promises. I pray and declare that your children shall be mighty upon the earth. I pray and declare that God's righteousness will be seen even upon your children and their children after them in Jesus' name. Now, here's another one. So number four, Psalm 115, verse 14. I pause a little for you to find the scriptures. It says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Again, you see, it starts from you, then passes on to your children. The Lord shall increase you. Not just your children, and not just you, you know, but first you, and then your children, more and more, you know, after you. I pray the increase of God, you know, without measure, even according to the abundance of his goodness, be upon you and your children more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. Increase on every side. Say, well, I shall break forth, he said, on every side. No, break forth on every side. Increase on every side. You increase, your children also increase. But we're focusing on your children, but we're bringing the wisdom of God that tells us that, you know, these things they will inherit because of your righteousness before the Lord. Praise God. Here's number five. In Psalm 127, we read from verse 3, the blessings, more blessings that come to your children because of you. Praise the Lord. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the root, youth. And anytime he mentions children, well, there is a connection there. A child is not a child unless, you know, we're talking about reference to their parent. If you don't want to refer to their parent, then you don't call them children. You just say people. But the moment you say children, that, you know, that definitely implies a connection, you know, to the parent. As the parent and the offspring, the children are connected to the parents because we call them children. Now, children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. The children will do, and they will become mighty prayer warriors. That's right. He said, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, that's your children. You're raising them up to become mighty prayer warriors. And they will stand up and defend the household. That's right. Yeah. If we train them right, we show them the way, you know, the mantle of prayer from day to day, they themselves will become mighty prayer warriors on their own, you know, in their own right, on their own accord. And they'll be able to withstand the enemies in their gate. Glory to God. These are, you know, God's word and promises towards our children. They will be mighty. They will also, you know, grow up to be mighty prayer warriors. Speak with the enemies in the gate. Here's another one, number six. In Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 21. This scripture promises that the seed of the righteous shall be blessed. As we are going through this, keep the connection in your heart always. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, if your children are ever in trouble of any kind, you can always go to this particular scripture and say and claim their deliverance. The Bible says that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, that's your children. As long as you are walking in the righteousness of God. Now, how do we get this righteousness of God, if I may just say? You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 5 and verse 21, this righteousness was imputed unto us already. Praise God. It says from verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, you know, and it says, look, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. For he had made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we've already inherited this righteousness. You walk in it, and all these blessings that we're talking about today come upon your children. Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Yes, another one. This is number 7 in my list. I got dozens of them to go through. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 26. All of God's children, including your children, shall have a place of refuge. Always. They will not be destitute. Praise the Lord. They'll always have a place of refuge. They will not be desolate. They will not be homeless. No. They will always have a place of refuge. In the fear of the Lord, he said, his strong confidence, and his children, which means also your children, shall always have a place of refuge. Praise the Lord. And we can claim that, you know, for your children at any time. Praise the Lord. Number 8. The children of the righteous shall be blessed after him. That's Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Now, again, keeping the connection alive. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, those children are blessed because he walks in the integrity of his heart. And therefore, his children are blessed. Your children are blessed. You know, when you keep yourself in the way of the Lord. Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. See, and that's the thought that must be in our head. You know, we also, for the sakes of our children, we must sanctify ourselves, must consecrate ourselves to the Lord, not just for our own good, but also for the sake of our children, because many blessings come upon them when we walk in the integrity of our heart. As you see here, the righteous man walketh in his integrity, and because of that, his children are blessed after him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord grant us the grace, grant you the grace, walk in the integrity of your heart, and may your children receive the blessing that follows according to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. This gives us a promise that your children, and they will remember all that you have been teaching them in the way of the Lord, but you must be teaching them in the way of the Lord. The responsibility is upon us from the time the baby is in the womb. Our responsibility is on you. And when the baby comes out, the responsibility is on you still to speak over them the name of the Lord, to show them the way of God. And you must be walking in integrity of your heart yourself. We cannot afford to show bad examples to these children. You cannot live a life that's prayerless, you know, a life of no faith and all that. And then you expect your children to be prayer warriors and they themselves to grow up in faith. How's that going to happen? No. You know, these children, they're going to pick up what they see. Especially early on, if you start teaching those kids from the time that they are little, how to praise the Lord, lift up their hands in prayer, and, how to enjoy, you know, gospel music rather than the other. That's all they will gravitate toward because that's what they know. And, before you know it, they themselves be praying. They'll be saying hallelujah. And they will just be loving the things of God because we brought them up in those environments. And later on, they're going to have an opportunity to make their own choices. At first, they just follow what the parents are leading them to do. And later on, they, begin to make their own choices. And here is a promise that they will not depart. Which means if they do depart, the Lord will bring them back. Praise the Lord. Now, anytime that the Lord tells us this will be or this will not be, and if situation turns to the contrary, you can hold on to what God said. Now, if God said, if you train up your children in the way of the Lord, that when they are grown, they will not depart from me. That's what he said in this Proverbs 22:6. And then you train up your children in the way of the Lord, but they do depart. What does that mean? Well, that means God will bring them back because he said they will not depart. And if they do depart, then God will bring them back. In fact, there's a promise I will read to you later on, but it says that God will make sure they come back. This is the way I interpret it. One time, Jesus was talking about Lazarus who was dying. He got a message that Lazarus was dying. And, people thought that he would just rush there, but he didn't. In fact, he stayed 2 more days in the same place where he was after he heard that Lazarus was dying. And then he knew that Lazarus died. But before that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God might be revealed. Son of God might be glorified thereby. What? He said the sickness is not unto death, but the man died. What does that mean? It means then that Jesus must reverse that. That's what it means. So if Jesus said the sickness is not unto death, and yet the man died, then Jesus had to reverse the situation so it looks like it was never unto death. Think about that. If the Lord says your children will not depart and they depart, that means the Lord must bring them. It's on them. It's on the Lord now. You did your part in training them up the way they should go. That's your part. His part is to make sure they don't depart. Now, if they do depart, it is still his part to bring them back. Praise the Lord. And if you understand it that way, we will have confidence in the Lord that our children will come back even if they depart. Praise the Lord. There is a promise that goes with that in the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, this promise in verses 16 and 17 goes directly to what we just read. He says, when our children become wayward or they don't want to listen and they now think they have all the answers, and they begin to grow, get into those formative years and then early adulthood years and so forth. Sometimes they will listen, sometimes they won't listen. But whether they listen or don't listen, if we have invested time before they got to that age all along in showing them the way of the Lord and teaching them the things of God, praying over them the name of the Lord all the time and so forth, they will not depart. But if they depart, the Lord will bring them back. Listen to this, Jeremiah 31 and verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Now, some of you may be weeping over your children for whatever reason, and your eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. What's he talking about? Why are you saying it's about children? Well, let's read the rest of it. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. That's a promise, point blank. So when you train them up in the way of the Lord, they will not depart. But if they depart, they will come again. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children. Now you see that he was talking about children, your children. Because if you read only verse 16 or the first part of verse 16 only, and you don't read the next verse, you may say, well, I don't know. I don't know that he was talking about my children. But no, yeah, he was talking about your children. Your children shall come again to their own border. That means the place where they should have been, where it could have been said of them that they did not depart. But if they departed, the Lord said they will come again. Now, this is a point blank promise. And we can take it with us every day. When you are concerned about your children or your grandchildren, praise the Lord. And I pray for your children. I pray for all of our children that the good hand of the Lord will be there to guide them and to keep them in the way of righteousness and to bring them in. If they were to misstep for whatever reason, God will bring them in. He has promised it and he will never fail. Praise the Lord. So let's have this confidence in the Lord. Train up the child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart. And if he does depart, then the Lord will bring him back. It's a promise of God. Now, that's a powerful promise of this relationship and generational blessings. Again, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10. This is number 10 in my list. I and the children God has given me are for signs and wonders. Now, this is prophetic. Jesus saying this, but yet it applies to us as well. But you notice the way he said it. He didn't say I alone. Neither did he say my children alone. It starts with I. First you, then your children. I tell you. And even grammatically, you don't say I and somebody. That's not how it works grammatically. Today, when you use proper grammar, you would have said my children and I. That's the proper grammar. You don't say that. You don't say I first and then, you say my children and I. That's proper grammar. But we're not talking about grammar here. We're talking about God's pipeline. That's right. The pipeline of blessings. It starts from God to you and then your children. So I and the children that God has given me. That's right. They are for signs and wonders. So your children shall be for signs and wonders. I declare that your children are for signs and wonders. Whether you have one child or many, in the name of Jesus, they will be for signs and wonders among the people. It shall be said of them all the time, see what the Lord has done for them. They will be for signs. They'll be for wonders. Even if it doesn't look like that right now, it will be because the scripture says so. So this is the confidence I want us to walk away with today on these scriptures. It's not what it necessarily looks like now. Today, it may look like what God already said and praise God for that. But even if it doesn't currently, it doesn't mean that it will not be. It will be. You just stay your ground. Don't give an inch. Stay right there with the promise of God. And he's going to see to it. Praise God. I and the children God has given me for signs and wonders. There will be signs and wonders in your life. There will be signs and wonders all the time in the lives of your children that bring glory to God. Those signs and wonders will bring glory to God. Not lying signs and wonders. No. The true signs and wonders from the hand of the Lord will bring glory to God in your life and in your children's life. And may that be the case for you and your children in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to this in Isaiah 44, verses 3 to 5. It's my number 11 point. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed. That's a promise, a point blank promise. Now, this promise of pouring out God pouring out his spirit upon your seed is powerful. And I'm going to show you places also where the scripture references this. Isaiah 44 verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Glory to God. And my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One of them shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe himself with his hand unto the Lord. So name himself by the name of Israel and the name of the Lord. These are promises for your children because of you. I will pour out. He didn't just say, I will pour out my children, my spirit upon people. We know that he would do that too, but for particularly your seed. So that's that pipeline again. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. That's it. And you know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, split in tongues of fire upon the people like that. And the people that came from everywhere, they wondered whether they were drunken with wine. And Peter stood up and said, these are not drunken as in wine as you suppose, seeing that it's only the third hour of the day. There's no way they could be drunken with wine at this time. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so he gave this powerful sermon. At the end, people, their hearts were pricked. They said, man and brethren, you said, you know, what shall we do? You know, well, and Peter said, repent, you know, and be converted, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But listen to what he says next. Now, we're now in Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39. So, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children. Now, I don't know which scripture is referring to here, but it could be this Isaiah that we just talked about. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed. So Peter is saying in here that this promise of God pouring out upon his spirit that Joel even prophesied is not going to be just for you. It'll be for you and your children. Isn't that powerful? And to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you believe that, you can put amen in the chat room for you and your children. You can put your child's name there too, because they will have the Spirit of God poured out upon them, because the Lord said so right here in the name of Jesus. I pray the blessing of the Spirit of God come upon you and your children after you, even according to this word that we see. This promise, he said, is unto you first, and then to your children, as many as, you know, the Lord shall call. Praise God. If the Lord called you, then it's for you. And then it's for your children too. For thou shalt be saved and your household as well. Praise the Lord. You know, in the olden days, God typified this blessing upon the household. You know, when they were about to come out of Egypt, he gave them a commandment, Moses did. A lamb for an house, he said. You kill that lamb, one for an household, put the blood upon your doorpost, and anyone and anything that's inside the doors or behind the doors upon which that blood is, stricken, and you strike the blood post with that blood, the doorpost with that blood, say, everything in there shall be saved. Praise God. And I often thought, I said, well, you know, that was God's way of protecting the children of Israel. But I guarantee you, if any children of the people of Egypt had come into one of those houses that had the blood in it over the doorpost, even though that person was doomed to die, well, they would have escaped. Because the Lord said, when I see the blood on that doorpost, the angel of destruction will pass over. He's not going to pick anybody out of that house and say, this one is going to die. No. Anything, the blood that's on that doorpost, anyone inside that house. And I'm thinking, well, you know, any one of the children of Israel should have just run into that house. And they would have been saved, even if they were the firstborn of the, you know, in their family. But God was going after the firstborn. He said, you mess with my firstborn, I'm going to kill yours. Pharaoh and all of them. But because of the blood that was on the doorpost, everything in that house was safe. Hallelujah. Everything and everybody. So, you know, when you stand in the gap for your children and for your household, if you are the man of the house, or we have some women who are head of household now because either the husband is passed away or they are divorced or whatever. You know, whatever situation, if you find yourself as the head of that household, you stand in that gap. Hallelujah. And every time you plead that blood for yourself and your house, that means your children after you. Glory to God. They are secure. They are saved. You know, because you standing in the gap. Yeah, you know, it takes somebody to put that blood on that doorpost. And when they, you know, when they put it on, it wasn't the little children in the house that put the blood on. It was the parent that put the blood on the house. And when they put it on the house, then the children benefited from it. Praise God. You know, and Jesus said, you know, to parents, but fathers especially, you know, but there's also to women too. You know, if the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, well, then he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 43. But know this, Jesus said, if the good man of the house would have known in what hour the thief was coming, then he would have watched and he would have defended his house and he would have not suffered his house to have been broken up. So the good man of the house, you know, generally men, but sometimes it is women. If there is no man in the picture, it's the mother. You know, if you are there, it is your responsibility to ward off the evil. You stand for your entire household. Praise the Lord. You stand right there and you fight that good fight, you know, and keep your house intact. That's what Jesus said. Men have that responsibility particularly, but women also have the same responsibility, especially, you know, if you are in a relationship, you are there with your husband and you have children. It's good for you to walk together. A threefold cord. Wife, walking with the husband, walking with the Lord. That's threefold right there. Cannot be broken easily. But even if it's the woman alone, you know, we are instructed in the book of Proverbs, you know, chapter 14, you know, what a wise woman must do. She also must build up her house. You know, just like the, you know, good man builds up and protects his house. Well, the wise woman must also build up her house with, you know, her wisdom. She will use her wisdom. Say every wise woman. Not every woman, but every wise woman has a qualification that she uses her wisdom to build up her house. But to the contrary, the foolish woman could tear down her house with her own hands. Well, I pray there is no foolish woman here in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And there is no bad man here either. Jesus said, the good man of the house. That's what they always refer to as the owner of the house. They call him the good man. Either of the house or of the vineyard. He's a good man. He's the one that owns the place. Well, you know, you own the place. You also own the responsibility to keep the thing together. Praise God. You can't do it by yourself, but you must do it. It's on you to do it. And you enlist the help of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the word of God. All these tools are, you know, at your disposal to keep your house together. Praise the Lord. You keep your house, you keep your children, you keep your marriage together. Praise God. You know, house here can also be marriage. You know, a house is a house even if there's no children. And the house is house first before there's children involved. I mean, naturally, that's the order of things. Although these days people have turned that order backwards. But naturally, a man takes a woman, you know, and they form a house. The man, you know, leaves his father and mother and starts his own house with his wife. Then later, children may come. So the definition of the house is not necessarily because of children. Children will come, but the definition of the house is, you know, the man and the wife. Even to start, become a house. Glory to God. You know, and you stand there, you fight. Fight for your marriage too. Always fight for that. Keep it together. Don't let your house be broken up. You know, you heard that today from the Lord. Praise God. Now, back to our lesson on the promises of God. Great and exceeding precious promise of God to your children via the pipeline. That's right. You know, I didn't have enough the room to put all that long title in the message or the room title today, but that's what it is. These promises are coming to your children because of your integrity. A just man walketh in integrity of his heart. The children are blessed after him. The Lord grant that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon your seed in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Number 12, powerful promise, Isaiah 49 and verse 25. You know, I mean, there is nothing more point blank, you know, than this in the scriptures concerning how the Lord will save your children. You know, he already said it right here. Praise God. And because he said it, he would do it too. Let's read it for verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? Now, sometimes these children become lawful captives, just like the prodigal son. You know, became a lawful captive of his own foolishness and lack of prudence. You know, he got some wealth, he went and squandered it, and he became a victim of his own errors. Lawfully put himself, you know, it's like he put himself in that situation. That's what a lawful captive means. You know, sometimes people are doing the right thing, but evil comes upon them. Sometimes people are doing the wrong thing, which makes evil to come upon them. When you're doing the wrong thing and it makes evil to come upon you, then you are a lawful captive in that case, you know, because you brought it upon yourself. Whether you brought it upon yourself, whether the devil brought it upon you, whether you are a victim of somebody else's problems, whatever the case may be, the Lord has a solution. He said, look, the prey, can you take the prey from the mighty? That's not easy, but Jesus said, yes, it can be done. How did Jesus say it can be done? Well, read about it in Luke chapter 11. Jesus said, well, when the mighty has his prey, you know, he keeps his goods and they are in order. And he thinks that everything's good, you know. But when a mightier than he shall come, a stronger than he shall come upon him, what's he going to do? First, he will bind that strong man. That's right. Then he will spoil his goods and take away his armor in which he trusted. That's right. That's how you do it. So let's answer the question in Isaiah. Let's go back there and answer it. Isaiah 49 and verse 24. And Jesus answered it for us. So let's answer it now. And I'm going to answer it, you know, for you here. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Yes. Because Jesus said so. You know, when a stronger than he shall come upon him. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? Yes. You know, because here's what the Lord said. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Glory to God. And I will contend, say, for I will contend with him that contendeth with you. Now, in some cases, your children are the trophy. Just like Job was a trophy in this contest between God bragging about Job. Job didn't know anything about that. And the devil saying, well, I know why he's like that. You know, and Job was a trophy. The integrity of Job's heart was a trophy. God said, have you seen my servant Job? Have you considered him that there is none like him upon the earth? A man that loves God and eschews evil. I mean, in other words, speaks evil out of his mouth. You know, and the devil, I mean, always has that thing to say. Well, you know, does Job serve the Lord for naught? No. I mean, you blessed him with security and everything all around. Of course he will bless you. But you take away those things from him now and he'll curse you to your face. I mean, the devil, my goodness. And Job became a trophy in that contest, you know. And he was like, well, that was a wager between God and Satan. God said, well, you can't. He won't do it. Satan said, yeah, he'll do it too. Let me lose on him and he'll do it. So it was a wager. Now, here is what the Lord is saying. Your children are the trophy in this contest. That devil wants them. And you say, no, you can't have them. God said, I'm coming to your aid. Glory to God. I will contend with him that contended with you, and I will save your children. Glory to God. It's all about saving your children. That's what all of this is all about. All these things is saying here. Whether they are lawfully captive, whether they put themselves in that situation or not, whether somebody stronger than them or put them in there, it doesn't matter. The Lord said, I will save them. Glory to God. And so, now, I say it doesn't matter. Well, from the point of view of the end state, the current state, though, it does matter. See, when people put themselves in harm's way, or when the sheep walks away from the flock, they're going to suffer. The shepherd will go after him and find him and bring him back on his shoulder and rejoice. You are told that parable. But in the meantime, that sheep will suffer. It'll be running helter-skelter. The wolves and different things chasing it. Maybe sometimes fall into the ditch and so on and so forth. He will suffer. He should have stayed with the flock. But the shepherd will find you, but you will have a lot of bruises, a lot of suffering. So people stay with the Lord and stay within the flock. One time Paul, he was on a trip, you know, on a voyage. And before they set out, he said to them, look, I perceive in the spirit that this voyage is going to be disastrous. There's coming a storm. He saw it. That will destroy the ship and may even destroy people. Say, look, let's hold on and wait until the storm be passed. Well, nevertheless, the people said, no, we got to go. And Paul said, look, you know, I warn you, don't do it now. But they did. They set sail. And then just like Paul has said, everything came to pass. A great tempest that came up against that boat. And people were about to die. They had to start throwing things overboard. And some of them wanted to jump overboard. And Paul said, I told you first time you should have listened to me. You didn't listen. But nevertheless, I'm telling you again now, the angel of the Lord stood by me overnight, told me, you know, there will be no life left. But these must stay
in the ship. Otherwise, you cannot be saved. Now, if you jump ship, you can't make it. Stay in the flock, folks. Stay within the pack. If anybody jumps ship, they can't. Look, Paul told it to them. You jump ship, he said, you cannot be saved. You know, but you stay within the pack. You know, when you stay in the boat, then that's when you can be saved. You know, if you jump boat, you will not be saved. You will perish. Now, the sheep that leaves the flock and wanders off is going to put itself in great peril, danger. I've seen those nature series. I love to watch them. And I see the prowler coming ever so close to the pack of deer. I mean, of whatever he's looking at. But he can't attack because there are too many and they're clustered together like that. And he's just looking for whom to devour. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's looking for whom to devour. Well, he's finding it difficult when they are clustered together like that. You know, finding it difficult. But then he patiently waits, getting ever so closer, you know, just prowler, crawling towards them. And somehow, unfortunately for that one deer or whatever it is, that walks away from the flock and wanders away, that thing is dead meat. That's it, right there. You know, so stay in the boat, you know, stay in the boat. You can read that story in Acts chapter 27 and verse 31. Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So don't jump ship, stay right there. But back to our lesson. Whether these children jumped ship or not, whether they were foolish like the prodigal son or not, one way or another, God's promise will bring them back. They will return from the land of the enemy. They will come back to their own border. And God said, I will save them. There's somebody that is fighting with you over these children, but he's not going to have them. I will save them. And you stay in the fight with the Lord, contending for your children, contending for their faith, contending for their lives, contending for their deliverance, contending for their prosperity. You know, you stand there with them. The Lord said, I'm coming to your aid. Glory to God. I will save your children. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, that's a wonderful promise. Now, I pause to pray and release this over your children in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, whether they are taken captive without their own will or whether they willingly, foolishly become captive, no matter which way and how they end up in the situation that they are in, you know, in the Paul, I mean, David said, the Lord delivered me. Pulled me out of the miry clay. It's like sweet, you know, it's like quicksand. You know, the more you struggle, the more you sink deeper. However your children got into this problem, even you yourself, however you got into this problem, I declare over you today in the name of the Lord. The Lord said, I will contend with whosoever is contending with you. Now, in your case, the trophy may be your peace, your stability of your mind. It may be your job. It may be whatever. I mean, whatever you are about to lose. Glory to God. God said, I will contend with whoever is contending with you. But if it is particularly for your children, because this is the topic of today, it's about your children. He said, I will save them. The Lord promised it. Point blank. A powerful, powerful promise. Praise the Lord. Now, number 13
Yes, another one. Isaiah 54 verse 13. And I just noticed this happened to be number 13 on my list. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be their peace. Now, you already done your part. The Lord saying, I will do my part. You know, you can pray this prayer. And I will pray over your children right now. The Lord will put brick walls on their left, on their right, and behind them. And they can't turn any way but go forward in the path of righteousness. Glory to God. Block their way, Lord. When they're about to go off the rail, oh God, don't block them. You know, there are guardrails that God put in place. And when they're about to go off, God block their way so they can't go. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said, I would teach them myself. And you know, if you have rebellious children, you know, I remember little children when they were growing up in my house, I used to wonder, I said, look, if you allow your parents to teach you, you know, that's less severe than when the Lord takes over. When the Lord takes over, he'll get you there. His own whip will be stronger. You know, that whip that your parent was trying to whip you that you thought was anything, it's nothing. And it comes in the hands of the Lord. The Lord will get you. He will get them one way or another. You know, but he said that children shall be taught of the Lord. That's all of your children. Now, if you have more than one child, well, maybe three or four or five or six, maybe two or three of them are walking in the ways of the Lord and the rest of them are not. Well, go back to this scripture. All thy children, glory to God. All thy children, not just one or two of them, and great shall be their peace. Now, you may have some of your children that have great peace. They're doing well. Maybe one or two of them are not doing well. They don't have peace. They're struggling. They're in distress. Well, go back to this scripture. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of all of them. Their peace. All. Not some. So if you only have some right now, well, claim God for the rest. Praise God. Powerful promises. And you use these things, you know, to get a victory for yourself and for your children. Praise God. That's Isaiah 54 and verse 13. And it so happens to be number 13 on my list. Now, what does it mean, you know, in addition to what I said, for all your children? Well, it means all. A-L-L. That's all your children. Now, that some of them may be responsive very quickly, you know, to the ways of the Lord. And that's a good thing. Some of the others may not. You know, they may be rebellious at first, you know, or whatever. You know, and sometimes some of these children, they want to learn things the hard way. Parents always want the children to benefit from their own experience and not to go through the things that parents already know. They say, look, been there, done that, this is the way, walk in it. They say, no, you know, this is my life. I want to do this and that. Well, the parent continues to pray, see. But one way or another, God's going to get all of them, all your children, not one will be left behind because of the work that you have invested into their lives and you are investing. Some of you have young children, be investing into them right now. If you have adult children, remember the investment you've put in them in prayer. If you have young children, be doing it now, you know, and their peace is assured. The Lord will bring them there. Praise God. All of them. Not some. All. That's how I said. So, claim the all for every one of your children. Let me pause and pray this prayer for your children. In the name of Jesus. All your children shall be taught of the Lord. Now, this is, you know, many times our children, they don't use wisdom, you know, to do what they need to do. And they need that wisdom. And sometimes they fall into error. They lose things. They lose money. They lose this. They lose a job. They lose that. You know, probably because of lack of wisdom or maybe just circumstances, whatever it is. You know, here are some things that the Lord will teach your children. And I'm going to pray this prayer over your children. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 says, the Lord will teach you, well, teach your children too, how to profit. Glory to God. Shall be taught of the Lord. Yeah, that's it. Isaiah 48 and 17. The Lord will teach them how to profit. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. The Lord will give them power to get wealth and teach them how to get it too. Teach them also how to keep it. Praise the Lord. Now, remember, you know, the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Tell your children that all the time, you know, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers. You see, there's also that connection. There's always father-children connection in this pipeline, you know. Oh, the Lord is doing this thing for you because of what you swear to your fathers. You know, so it's again passing on to the children. He will give you the power to get well because he promised your fathers to that he would do so. Glory to God. Now, I say to you today, if you never heard it from the Lord directly, well, hear it prophetically from me today, that the Lord is saying to you that there is a blessing that he established upon you and as a pipeline to your children. Now that you have that promise, you can now say and pray over your children and say, the Lord will give them, that's right, that power. It's part of the things he will teach them. Teach them the power, how to get wealth. Again, in Isaiah 48 and 17, he will teach them how to make profit. Now, not just get wealth, profit with it. Profit with the whatever skills that God has given them, how to profit. God will teach them. You know, Psalm 32 and verse 8, he said, the Lord will guide them. He will instruct them in the way that they should go. These are the promises of God. Teach, guide, instruct. Guide you with my eye. And then the next verse warns us, well, only don't be obstinate. Psalm 32 and verse 9. Don't be obstinate. When the Lord is trying to guide you, you know, don't be obstinate. The horse and the mule, they are obstinate. You have to chuck them around with bits and bridle in their mouth. No. So don't be like that. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And he will guide you. How else will he guide you? Job 32 and verse 8. The inspiration of the Almighty will come upon your children, will come upon you too. Now, I release these prayers over you and your children that the Lord will guide you continually. That's right. The Lord will guide you continually. Praise God. The Lord will give you understanding, inspiration. He will show you the way to go. He will teach you and your children especially, how to profit. Praise the Lord. Do it, God. We're talking about your children today. And he will show them the way to go. He will guide them with his eye, he said. And he will give them inspiration. Glory to God. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58 verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make thy bones to be fat, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of you, that's your children. Glory to God. There is no place where there is a disconnect. Every time the God talks to you, puts a pipeline for your children also. You know, you get this guidance from the Lord.
The Lord will satisfy your soul in drought, make your bones fat, and so forth. Be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then turn around and talk about your children too. They that shall be of you, huh, that's your children. They shall build the old waste places too. Huh, glory to God. And they shall even raise up, they themselves will raise up, you know, secure foundations for generations to come. That means your children and their children after them. Huh, praise God. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, restorer of past dwelling. You are that pipeline. Hallelujah. You are the conduit through which the blessing will pass to your children. You receive the blessing along the way too, but it's going to your children as well. That's the message for today. It's about your children. It's about God's blessings to your children because of your integrity. Now, you yourself, some of you say, well, but I don't have a child. Well, yeah, these blessings are for you too. First of all, it's you. Remember, I and the children. Remember, the Lord will bless you and your children. Increase you. And so these messages and these promises and this stuff that we're releasing here today, they're for your children, but they are for you first. Glory to God. And if you have children, they're for both of you. Both you and your children. Glory to God. And, you know, and you are somebody's child too. We are the children of the Lord. And Jesus prayed the prayer. Like I'm praying and releasing over you here today. And Jesus prayed and released many things for us in John 17. He said, Lord, he said, Father, they were yours. You gave them to me. And I keep every one of them. And I will lose none of them. And I have lost none of them. Well, except the son of perdition. He said, well, the scripture needed to be fulfilled. But, you know, I've kept the ones that you gave me. Well, that's a responsibility also of every parent. Keep, and Jesus prayed this prayer, powerful. Say, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom you have given unto me. Now, every parent should add that to their prayer. Holy Father, keep through thy own name these ones that you have given unto me. Well, we're going to pause here and pray. And I want you to bring the names of your children to the altar. Glory to God. You know, I'm not done with these promises. I'm only about halfway. Yeah, I'll do part two maybe tomorrow by the grace of God. But I want you to bring the names of your children. You may have one child. You may have two, three, four, five. They may have children after them. Your children may be yet to have children. All of them are covered in this pipeline. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, a lamp for an house. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, let the house of Israel say so. Let the house of Aaron say so. Well, let the house of the Adeyemi say so. Put your family name in there. Now, I say, Jesus himself had family name. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that we are all named by the name of Jesus, of whom, he says, the families in heaven and on earth are named. Every one of us that belong to Christ, we have a new surname called Jesus Christ. That's right. We're named by his name. And so you stand in the gap for your children. You bring them into the gap. I mean, you bring them into the fold by faith. You cover them with the blood of Jesus by faith. And I release these prayers, these blessings over you and your children. Put your children's name there in the chat room too. You and your children are bringing them to the altar today. I cover them with the fire of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, consuming fire to consume anything that would dare to come against these children. The Lord said, I will contend, ha, glory to God, with anything that contends with you concerning the lives of these children. And I will save them by the grace of God. And so it will be in Jesus' name. Now, upon you and your children after you are these promises come this day. For this promise, Peter said, is unto you and to your children. Hallelujah. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Father, I thank you for my children, physical and spiritual children. And I thank you, Lord, for my wife, by whom I've been blessed. I mean, through
with whom we've been blessed with many children. Together, bring my household to the Lord. I thank God for your life and your children. If you're married, your spouse. And if you're unmarried, well, I thank God for you. If you have children, I thank God for your children. We bring them in today under this canopy. And we release these blessings upon them. Remember, the children of the righteous shall never be desolate. Their seed shall not beg bread. Their seed actually will be mighty upon the earth. And their seed will be delivered. Many, many promises that we have covered today. They are for you and they are for your children. In the mighty name of Jesus. So it is spoken and so let it be. The law of the Medes and Persians, once it is spoken, it cannot be reverted. The scripture says, well, how much more the word of God? I have believed today and therefore I have spoken and released this thing for you and your children. It is well with you. It is well with your children and particularly your children. It is well with them after you. And for those of you who are here in this room, the promise goes to you first. It's always you first, then your children. Praise God. But you must be that conduit, pass the children, the pipeline to pass it on to your children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is well with you. It is well with your children. They are delivered from this snare. Huh? That's right. From the snare of the enemy. The Lord deliver them. Deliver them and he will doth deliver. Said, Paul said, I thank God who hath delivered us from so great a death, who doth deliver and will yet deliver. The Lord is delivering, had delivered your children, delivering them and will yet deliver them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And will yet fulfill his glory in their lives. They shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that the Lord might be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.